This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ooh, girl. Ooh. It's the tightest snatch in herstory. They dipped this in apple cider vinegar, honey.
Ooh, speak for yourself.
This week, it's season 5 Snatch Game. It's season 6, isn't it?
Season 6, but go off.
Work this outline. Do you think Jocelyn and Courtney should have switched Fran Fine for Teresa Giudice? Did Trinity skip a whole answer just to skip her, change her wig? Is Dayla a genius?
Courtney Act, we thought your Fran was just fine. You're safe. Did Bianca say baloney?
Well, We can't wait for you to take this incredible episode of Drag Race and put it in your ears and listen to our discussions, dissections, and disseminations on Race Chaser. Classic.
Get into it.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw. Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw.
Ooh, hello. Ooh.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser Classic, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning!
My name's Alaska, what's yours?
Hello, I'm Willem, and I live in London now.
Honey, we are young, we are hung, and we clearly march to the beat of our own drum over here.
Honey, I saw that Austin Young performance piece with Laganja in it, and she is right about all those things.
Shit's getting gaggy! Do you, first of all, your hair looks so beautiful.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
So beachy. Just beachy.
I like your shorn locks. She's
Thank you.
She's locked and lovely.
Locked and lovely. I'm very Demi Lovato with my drag today.
I was thinking Demi Moore in G.I. Jane. Because we know you got those bolt-ons, those good over the muscles.
Yeah. G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jugs.
G.I. Jane.
It's a really good movie. G.I. Jane and Striptease is a great one, too, because it's called Annie Lennox.
That's the one.
But
that's
anyway, last week on Drag Race, there was a wonderful mini challenge, which nobody could see because it's now offensive. Or I guess it was offensive then, too, but now we realize it was, now that we're done laughing at it. Right. Team Adore and Team Milk staged two acts of shade, the Rusical. And it featured the vocal stylings of two former Idol contestants and Gia Gunn.
We are the comedy queen. They're all full of beans. Literally.
The runway was Tony Award glamour, and Courtney took home a well-deserved win. The bottom two found Trinity K. Bonet and April Carry On lip-syncing to the infamous Seed Song by Chaka Khan. Trinity showed the girls what she could do when April hit the house, and every woman was pleased. We have a little intel from last week's note about the mini challenge. It's from William. He wanted us to know.
William with an extra I.
It's just a little.
Hello, distinguished panel of podcasters and media moguls. I have some premium intel here for you. The season 6, episode 4 mini-challenge aired, but was cut due to its transphobic comment. It was called Female or She-Male, where contestants had to guess from close-ups whether the person in the picture was a psychological woman or a biological woman. Please note quotation marks around those terms, as I am generally disgusted by RuPaul said that in retrospect. The challenge had some highlights of Bianca reading detox for having all that surgery but keeping her nose, but overall distastefully sexist towards women and horrendously transphobic. The idea of conflating what a woman should look like and how some women allegedly fall short of that is sexist. To then make direct comparisons to trans women's, with this ranking of womanhood being just as about how feminine someone looks, seems entirely regressive and a classic example of where the show fell short of the progressive standards of the LGBT community should hold them to. Thank you for our podcast. And Willem, I'm going to try and come see your show in London next month. I'm a massive fan since your seminal performance on Boston Public. Love, Willem.
Well, does anyone come up to you at Drag Con and say, oh my God, will you sign my Boston Public DVD?
I have signed an 8x10 and I was like, where did you get this picture? And somebody printed out a Boston Public still at Drag Con. And I was, and they were like not joking with me or kikiing. They just wanted me to sign it. And I was like, you seem funnier than what you're like in person right now. And I was like, are you not here for me? Are you just collecting like autographs from everybody? And it's like the worst pictures you could find. What is your deal? What is your damage, Heather?
I'm going to Jacqueline Smith's house after this.
Oh my God, I worked with her.
Oh, I thought she was on Boston Public.
No, Jacqueline Smith was my attorney on The District for 2 episodes.
Oh,
and they told me not to speak to her.
Right, yes, it is. She Lisa Rinna'd you right out of the dressing room.
Honey, I got Rinna'd.
You've been Rinna'd. That's very interesting intel. That certainly explains it. And I'm glad that they've redacted it. This was a thing that used to fucking happen on TV all the time. I mean, if you used to turn on Jerry Springer, any daytime TV show, this was commonplace. And I'm glad that, like, we know better now.
Now, who are you calling that, common?
That's
self-indulgent.
Common.
Self-absorbed podcastress.
But thank you for sharing that, William. That is, that's good intel. And thank you for letting us know.
Tell the intel.
This episode, I mean, season 6, this episode is episode 5, and I can't believe, well, I'm not going to give away the ending, but let's just say this is the unofficial ending of season 6, okay, as far as I'm concerned, because of how it ends. But we get a lipstick message from April. Love you, girls. Aisha Palante. See you soon, April. Now, why hasn't April Carrion been back for All Stars?
I was just going to say she was wrong. See you soon is not true because she hasn't been on All Stars. They've done 6 fucking seasons. I mean, she could have done 5 of them and they haven't asked her. She's beauty. She's grace. She's from the United States.
Maybe she doesn't want to. Maybe
why
she's
wouldn't
like,
she?
Fuck you guys. I don't know.
I could see that happening. They'd probably try to make her play a butch lesbian or something.
don't play butch.
They swindled her. She got swindled on the show. And maybe she doesn't want to come back. I don't know. But I would rather see her than some of the girls that I know for a fact have been on because I watched them troll about. And then some of the future. I really think April deserves another chance. She's so beautiful. And working with her, I worked with her in Mexico and she did this number and I was like, I don't want to go after her.
Right.
She turns it.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I thought she was on a Lazy Susan. That's how much she was turning. She was an active Suzanne. She wasn't even a Lazy Susan.
Right. Yeah, it's very active.
Yeah. But this episode's great. The divas at the beginning of the episode are celebrating Trinity's lip syncing abilities. And I think this is the first time they've seen her do something that was like, other than get dressed and put makeup on and hair, which she can do lovely. This is the first time that they've seen her at her full capability at what she does best, which is lip syncing and performing. She's a wonderful entertainer once she's on stage and she knows all eyes are on her.
Absolutely. And she crushed that lip sync. On the other hand, Darian is
Modisha Jenkins.
She is not having it for Milk's fashion.
No, she said they're playing checkers and we're in the major leagues, honey.
Yeah. And she's like, I just don't get it. What this is, but I mean, that's, you know, that's what Milk does. Milk is doing drag for the purposes of pushing that boundary of what is drag and what is acceptable drag, as we will see later in this episode. Adore wants to go check in on Laganja because Laganja is still, you know, some shit went down in Untucked when they show a clip of Untucked on the actual next episode. When they're like referencing it in the story, Laganja's like, they took my moment and I'm still mad. That was my moment.
I get what she's saying. She was a younger, different person then, and she was being withheld the medicine that she uses to cope with her day to day. She couldn't have weed, and like that turned you into a different person. And when producers were allowing other contestants to have weed, that's kind of fucked up, you know? We know that Adore was allowed weed by Mish. Mish gave her weed. And I think that they were bamboozling the contestants in a scope that was outside the show, you know?
Wait, Laganja wasn't allowed weed?
Nope. They wouldn't let her.
That's like saying...
Even though it's California and she had her prescription and everything for that, they wouldn't allow it. But other girls did get smoke from the producers. And that is a verified fact. There's a couple producers that like to play favorite and collect the dolls and try to get in on them. And that's why people are usually nice to them and are their friends, because they want to get on the show. After that, you don't have to like them or pretend. But they withheld weed from Laganja for sure. And they gave it to other contestants.
That's like a psychological, like, that's like saying you can't have Prozac. You can't have you can't have Lexapro.
You should use Prozaid. I've seen your
to stick on them stones.
Yeah, honey. Stick on them stones
because they're falling off all over the stage. If I crunch on one more AB China stone, ladies.
And I can tell the crunch. I can tell when the glass is, the crystal is glass or the crystal is plastic.
Honey, that was a hot fix. I could tell that one over there was hot fix. Need help packing? Beat it.
Ganja needed a hot fix. She needed something in her pipe, and she would have calmed down. She would have been fine. I'm sure that would have rolled off her back, because queens interrupt each other. It's what we do. It's called podcasting. And Bianca and all the girls were interrupting and talking over her, and they had just been called safe. And, you know, they watched their little movie from the parents, and it was nice. But at the end of the day, emotions are for ugly people. And they kept it pumping, and they kept, like, doing what drag queens do, which is ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. And Ganja feels some sort of way about it, and she proceeds to tell Adore about it. She said, this was my moment, and they took it. But I don't know how anybody's going to be able to take your moment when you got a whole fucking bird on your head. It was still your moment, Ganja. She looked great.
She is that bird. Well, Laganja's feeling better than
she
next
about to flip
day.
The bird with Bianca.
Right, because they walk into the workroom. Gia and Laganja are sissy that walk, voguing into the workroom. Laganja is in a full look.
Full.
She's wearing the pot holder on her head. She's wearing a black lip. Right, exactly. She's got a full look put together. Bianca is mad.
Bianca is mad because her look is basic.
Bianca hates youth and beauty, and so she's very angry.
Youth, beauty, and energy. Not a fan of anybody who's just above lackadaisical.
And Laganja says, famously, well, I'm young and hung and clearly march to the sound of my own drum, so props to you, mama. I mean,
she's mistaking Bianca's mother for a properties master. And Bianca's mother does not work in the theater. So I understand Bianca's confusion.
Bianca works in the theater as a costume, you know, designer. And her mother is the prop master.
Her daddy was a gaffer.
Yes.
Daddy was a gaffer.
Well, we're going to do some gaffing and take a break really quick.
Will you hold it back while I tape it?
Because I need to get my gaff together.
I don't want to pull my nails off. Hold it back and I'll tape. No, I'll hold it back and you tape. Dipper, will you grab a side? Will, grab the other end.
Oh, shit.
Will, you hold my hole open while they tape it in there. I want it really tight. I want a snatch pussy.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. You're literally getting them out of you by speaking them and figuring out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
That's right. And I think, and I've said this before, I think therapy is a very useful tool, whether you've been through something very traumatic or you're just trying to better yourself.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. You don't have to leave your house. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Yeah, all the therapists have licenses, so get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag. And we are back. The video messages calling all basic racers, calling all the basic racers. There's a new announcement. You're basic. And ain't nobody got time for that. This is a Lohanthony thing. Lohanthony is now a Christian straight man.
So
I'm sure he renounces this, but much like they renounced the original, you've got beep beep right. Mail. Rue is popping into the workroom. Tell us that the main challenge is what you already know.
Snatch game. Da da da. Yes, so of course we're going through all the drama and excitement. All the queens are really feeling the pressure of what they're going to do on Snatch Game. This is the number one most anticipated challenge of the season. Dayla says, I don't know how to do impersonations. I hope I do. I hope I do okay.
Impersonations are not part of something what I do, she says. And right. This is one of the moments where I'm like, honey, you've seen this show and you are giving them your own misdirect. You're not a silly little girl. You write whole plays. She has a cattle. She knows what she's doing. She knows she was going to knock it out of the park.
And as we've said before, it's always better to downplay your strengths rather than to go in and say, no, I'm amazing at impressions. I do impressions every night. I get flown around the world doing impressions. People pay top dollar to see my impressions. You don't want to walk in the door saying that to a camera crew. Laganja is giving us this pro tip. She says, when doing an impression, you not only need to look like the person, but speak in their voice as well. They really had to get that sound bite for us.
Honestly, and she gave it to them with vim and vigor.
They did. I bet they told, we really need to get a clean one from you on this, Ganja. Can you give us a really, can you just give us one more?
What is an impression, Laganja?
Define an impression. Contestant number 42.
Oh, wait, start over. Please say an impression is. Yeah, you need to restate. Thank you.
They did.
And rolling.
Bianca.
Bianca is doing Judge Judy. And she has no idea that RuPaul loves Judge Judy, as we know from Bianca Bite.
Baloney!
That Bianca originally auditioned with Dora the Explorer, but that was not allowed. And Courtney says this is the first time she sees Bianca a little flustered. This is the first and probably second to last time we see Courtney speak on this episode. She's only seen three times this episode.
You're right.
Three. And most of them are non-vocal, which is my favorite kind of Courtney.
Oh my God.
Quiet and beautiful.
Is Bianca pissing on her leg and telling us it's raining? Do you think she really had no idea that RuPaul loves Judge Judy and it's her number one thing?
I believe that that Bianca did not watch the show as much as some of the other girls. I know she'd seen it, but I'm guessing she probably didn't know that RuPaul loved Judge Judy. I mean, it seemed honest. I don't see Bianca reading Ru's biography.
Oh, I think she did.
I mean,
she reads a lot of books.
She thinks she's read all those books. No, they're costume books.
Haven't you seen when she's on a Zoom meeting? When she's on a Zoom meeting, she's got 1,000 books in the bookshelves.
No, those are all fake. It's a mansion. No, it's secret passageways. You pull one, and then there's dead bodies under there of ugly queens that she killed.
You pull the diva rules out of the shelf. That's
and
the lever.
And Michelle's breast implants fall from the ceiling. I don't know, but I take everything that she says is truth because she always has the best gossip and it's true.
Word, I'm sure. gospel truth. Okay, so RuPaul comes through for the walkthrough. We get to talk to Adore, who's doing Anna Nicole. And if I ever did an album, I would want this guy to produce it because he's a freaking genius. She's so fucking good.
This was great. Ru says that she knows Anna Nicole, so the pressure is on for her for sure. I did the Anna Nicole show, and I'd like to verify that Anna Nicole was very much like this Adore Pression in person.
Wow.
Like, just out of it. So yeah. Pulled up that she was in a wheelchair, even though I think her arm was broken. I was like, how can you not walk if your arm's broken? She was out of it, and they propped her up. I worked with her twice, wow. And I was, each time, the second time was worse than the first, and I was like, oh, you're not even a fun party girl right now. Now you're just looted, and they're propping you up.
Right. Damn.
Which, you know, reality TV.
Yeah.
Dayla tells RuPaul that he's doing, or that she's doing Maggie Smith from mm-hmm. Downton Abbey.
Yes.
And Ru wants to know, how will it be funny?
Yeah, I don't really see that for you. What's your other choice?
And the of course, the other choice is always Alyssa Edwards.
Oh, honey. Back in the good old days when you were allowed to do Ru Girl characters.
You can't do them anymore, huh?
No, it's a new like thing they put in the application. They're like, do not submit Ru Girl impressions for Snatch Game. It started a few seasons ago.
If I ever get on it, I'm going to do Mandy Coos.
Look at this.
It's like Candy Muse, but upside down. And with just a coos dripping with like little eyes on it. Mandy Coos.
Mandy Coos.
Do you think Ben really couldn't do a English accent, or was she also misdirecting?
Well,
she's a theater girl, and you're not telling me that she never auditioned for Oliver Twist.
No, I mean she clearly knows how to do. Like she clearly knows how to do.
She says she doesn't. She doesn't know if she could do an English accent. Quote: she is producing this whole episode.
A little, but I also think sometimes the best, you know, impressions are like you're less about like, oh, I'm going to do a perfectly executed English accent rather than just like, I'm going to be funny and kind of hopefully it comes out.
Honey, the only place I leave a good impression is on a Helix mattress, okay?
Ding! Do I see sunlight in your London flat?
Oh my God, the sun is bright, the dick was right. And honey, it ain't tight no more. Oh, it's been a good bank holiday. We've been banking heavily on the bank holiday.
You've been banking on your holiday.
Yeah. And you should see what the bank holiday left in my
safe deposit box.
I was trying to not say safe. Tank holiday, or what rhymes with holiday, but I couldn't. Yeah. Anyway. There's a moment where RuPaul has a conversation with Ganja, where Ganja does her Rachel Zoe character. It has all like the elements, I feel like, of Rachel Zoe, but without like the raisin face and like the disdain. Because Rachel Zoe doesn't have energy, and Ganja naturally has energy. She has a brightness and a lightness to her.
Yes.
And Rachel Zoe's more down here and just, oh, yeah. She right. sounds like everything, like she's trying to, like, get, like, a pussy fart out or, like, something out of her teeth. Like, okay. There's a lot of, like, little vocal nuances Rachel Zoe has and, like, tics and, like, just disdainful looks that Ganja doesn't have in the repertoire that she's presented so far. And Rue is... you know, already planning, oh, okay, so this girl's going to be in the bottom for sure.
Literally.
Yeah.
I literally know nothing about Rachel Zoe. I couldn't pick her out of a lineup, honestly.
You couldn't now anyway, because with her facelift, she doesn't look like herself anymore. She looks beautiful. Like, the nasal label folds that she was known for, that California raisin line, they're gone. She's like...
heard it through the grapevine. Okay, Milk and Rue have a rocky conversation about her plans to do Julia Child. And Milk says, well, I'd rather you have low expectations so I can blow you away.
And Milk also insults RuPaul. She says, well, have you seen Snatch Game? And Milk says, what show? Like, never joke to RuPaul. You know she has no sense of humor about her own career. You can't joke that you've never seen the show. You're not allowed. She's the only one that's allowed to joke about herself. You're not. Unless you're super funny. Or Coco Montrese.
It was almost like a do I have something on my face kind of moment. It was almost like RuPaul was like, I'm going to fucking smack this child.
It was a Rocky conversation. Milk would have done better playing Rocky from Mask, honestly. That would have been hilarious.
Rocky, don't drive. How many blackouts, how many times have I held your hair back while you threw up everything but your memories?
That was the wrong Cher movie, ma'am.
Oh, my God. Oh,
there's
so
more than one Cher movie.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
But I just don't think that this is a... it's never a good idea to joke about somebody's show or try to joke when they're right there in front of you and you guys aren't friends. She doesn't like you.
Well,
she's not your friend. You work for her on her show. And if you're not hilarious, don't try to crack jokes on her tenure, you know? Right.
And I think it could have gone different if Milk was giving what RuPaul was asking for, but Milk was just withholding and not really like giving the beats that they were trying to get from this. So if it was like, if you did the character and the character read the show, that would have been really funny.
Different. Yes. Honestly, it was all in the presentation, and this one didn't work. They didn't show Courtney, so we can't trash her, but it probably went bad. Rue probably said something in Australian. Courtney was like, oh, yeah, you. Okay.
Dog's your uncle. Hey, Sheila. Dog's your uncle.
Dog's dinner. Dog's lunch, too.
You don't want to look like the dog's dinner.
RuPaul is very excited to see Bianca's Judge Judy, and the heat gets turned up when she says, I love Judge Judy and I've seen every single episode. And Bianca's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Continuing down that shit storm, Gia Gunn has her Selena outfit all picked out on the mannequin. She thinks it's going to be funny because Selena cracked a few jokes here and there.
Quintanilla.
But RuPaul is not having it. Gia even gives her a line of her Selena impression. And she doesn't choose to say anything funny. She just says, hello, something, something, something. Do you have any questions?
Hola, ¿tiene preguntas?
I wish I could go back in time and do a sliding doors moment and see Gia Gunn do Selena. I think it would have been sickening. I think she would have went with her gut. She would have been fierce.
There's a little Selena in all of us. I mean, Sonique Selena is so sickening. Good. Her, and like, you never expect it, but like, there's a little Quintanilla in all of us.
See, why don't we take a break and we'll be... We'll be right back.
Baila esta cumbia.
This episode is brought to you by, I almost nodded off because this Helix mattress is so comfortable, Helix Sleep!
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
I've had several many Helix mattresses for several many years now, and I love them all. They're all my
babies. I've read the men's room wall.
We have the Midnight Dusk. We have the one for heavy sleepers, and that's also good.
Oh, they're all good.
If you have slumber parties, I love a Helix party. And we are the Helix girls, and we have been for such a long time that we know what works best for us and our bodies. But if you don't know, you could take a Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Also models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Ooh, plus enhanced cooling features to help you from overheating at night.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home, so that's why they offer a 100-night trial to try out your new Helix mattress and a 10- to 15-year warranty.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it's not going to last long.
It's so good, I'm going to say it again. That's helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
She cracked a few jokes here and there. Bitty bitty.
What are you gonna say? What are you gonna say about Selena? She loved pizza and got shot by Yolanda.
Honestly, one of the best offhand comments from Adore this season about that. But I think Gia made an okay decision switching to Kim K, because I don't feel like her Selena would have been amazing anyway.
Right.
So it's fine, I guess. I think, I don't know what to think, but I would have loved to see Gia take a bigger risk as Selena.
Yes.
And fail equally instead of this or worse.
Right. Because even Gia said herself, it's like Kim K is sort of like a safer choice, which is just sort of like a blank canvas. Like, I don't know how you would make Kim Kardashian funny. And I know later they suggest that she could have started every sentence with the letter K, but I really don't know how that would have worked out in the realm of reality.
I mean, they're critiquing her like hindsight's 2020, and they don't know shit, you know?
Every answer could start with K. Like that I could see happening. Maybe that's what they meant.
And we know Gia loves K.
Oh, my
God. Let's just say that. Yeah, that was a good pageant.
Well, we're continuing down the K-hole here. Courtney with a C, is doing is doing Fran Drescher. Darian is doing Paula Deen. Jocelyn is Teresa Giudice. And Trinity is Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, these Snatch Game contestants are Gillian Jacobs and Heather McDonald. And Jocelyn does take umbrage with Courtney's Fran Drescher and says, I can do a better Fran, fine. And then she does it in the interview chair. And I think it is better. It's definitely more Fran. Courtney looks beautiful. I love her in dark hair.
Yeah, she looks perfect. And I bet she was funny. I mean, the little bits we saw, which was very little, she was very funny. She knew how to hold it down, which is really, you know.
They never even let Darian get a full answer in, did they?
But her one-ups were so funny. Darian Lake was like, she almost could have won this, I thought. Like, she had a one-up on everybody.
I could really go for a fried bologna sandwich right now.
Like two rats fucking in a wool sock.
Who's hot here?
She was hilarious. I would have liked to see, like, the actual Snatch game instead of the Snatch edit. Because, like, to not let at least every character answer one question, I think, is a disservice. Like, we see your fingerprints all over the editing. Show us the damn show. Show us what happened, not what you want us to see, what we think what happened or whatever.
Well,
you know?
The truth is, you don't want to see the full show because it's about fucking 3 hours long. It's the most boring, dreadful shooting day ever. Snatch game is dreadful. It's so weird. You're fucking doing comedy with no audience. No one is. I mean, the cameramen were laughing, luckily, sometimes. And then you go down the line and six girls are just floundering and there's no audience to go off of. It's about fucking, it's a very long, dreadful day of shooting. But honey, release the footage. World of Wonder, release the footage.
Flounder and Sebastian, honey. Some of them were crabby about being failures, too. Dayla, I think, is this where the RuPaul's Drag Race got the RuPaul?
I
reinvented the language.
That was a good one up. This is Dayla is a perfect example of just existing in the character, listening and responding, because that's when citrus.
A libation.
What a wild idea. I've never heard of anything so absurd.
Bianca is taking this opportunity to get all the stuff out that she can't say as Bianca.
Ooh.
She channels it through Judge Judy, which is shockingly very similar to Bianca Del Rio. She first interrupts LaGanja, and then she yells, I'm talking! in the same sentence that she interrupted her, when it was LaGanja's turn to answer. I like a girl who will switch the narrative and be so convinced that it is true, everyone else around will believe it. And she has a gavel, which will shut anybody up. That helps. Bianca did the damn thing, for
she
sure.
She did.
I'm kind of surprised that she also wasn't a contender. There's lots of strong Snatch games this go-round. And a couple of floaters and two that are just runny, wet, hot shit.
Right. Jocelyn took a character that really could have gone nowhere. I mean, a Real Housewife is sort of like, it could have gone bad, but she had so many nuances. She was so funny.
Yeah.
And really did great. Trinity
did bad. She was like, didn't a girl do Kim K or somebody and she was just really bad before? She didn't have boobs in 1 year.
Yeah.
Somebody did a girl that was supposed to have big boobs and they didn't. When Naomi did Kim K or something. Who did Naomi do on the first Snatch and it was bad?
Oh.
She did
Tiffany New York.
All stars, and then she did Tiffany.
It was. I remember Naomi's just being like dead air and thinking like, really? You're so fun in person. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like if Trinity was just herself instead of worrying about, like, you know, who Nikki would have been. And the changing your wig bit, it didn't help that she was sitting in Chad's spot doing Chad's gig. Because no. That's where Chad was sitting too. And like, your first rule there is to be entertaining. And changing your wig is not entertaining. So no, do your job.
It's not really a surprise like it was when Chad did it. I mean, it was very groundbreaking. And I have some advice for if you're out there, if you're an aspiring drag queen who thinks you're going to go into Snatch Game and it's going to be a breeze. Don't use a mirror as your prop because Trinity, it also happened with Elliot with two T's. It becomes your sort of crutch and you just escape to the mirror. When you don't have anything to say or you don't have an answer. Like, don't hold a mirror as a prop on the Snatch Game. Don't do it. It's the kiss of death.
Okay. The next day at the Mirror Chats. We get a moment between...
No mirrors. I don't want to see any mirrors. Goddamn mirrors.
Cover the mirrors. Anymore. We're sitting Shiva.
Having said that, let's carry on with the Mirror Chats.
Okay. So we get a moment where we find out more about Dela's personal history, that his mom passed away when he was 13.
Yes.
And his drag character helped inform him with teaching moments that have applied to his everyday life. Yes. Because he felt unlovable because his mom was like that big supporter for him. And without her... I feel like he probably mothered himself with the Ben de la Creme character.
Yeah, definitely.
Smart person. The fact that he could apply that and that drag to his real world life and to make it better. Yeah. Bianca makes Adore's life better by helping her get her body together.
Yes.
Bianca also in this episode is seen painting Laganja a little bit, doing some tight lining around the eyes or something. I don't know what. But
anyone,
did you see that moment?
Yes. Anyone who has been in a dressing room with Bianca knows that she is always helping everybody out with this, whether you like it or not. She'll be like, your wig looks like shit. Sit down. When Bianca says, sit down, you know that she's going to do an overhaul on your hair.
It's, and then she's like, you got a comb? Wait, no, you don't. Obviously, you would have used it. Yeah.
It was a very sweet moment. I also love the moment with Adore talking about her hog body, and Courtney's like, well, maybe you just have a hog body.
Maybe you do.
Like, I understand. One of the sentences that Courtney has the whole episode.
One of the wonderful things that Jinx's—he's more than an assistant. I don't want to call him an assistant, but Kenny, when Jinx would used to have to get ready, and she was a more voluptuous gal, they said they'd have to pig her into her corset, like Kenny, pig me in, and she just put her arms up, pig me in.
Well, that comes from Sharon. Sharon invented that phrase.
Oh yeah,
come on, pig me in.
Of course she did.
And so now it has become a common phrase for getting corseted in.
I'll tell you what's not common. All these gorgeous RuPaul looks on the runway that's about to happen.
Okay.
RuPaul says that the theme for the runway is Night of a Thousand Ruse.
Yeah.
She obviously can't count. There's only 9 people there. And Michelle looks great as RuPaul.
She does.
This hair, I think Matthew painted her.
Yeah.
She looks insanely beautiful. And she looks like she's having fun.
Yeah.
The other judges are Santino, Heather, Gillian.
Yes.
And that's it.
RuPaul looks amazing. This very sideswept, cool blonde with this yellow fucking acid trip pattern on it. Beautiful. I love this.
It's giving
this.
Me 90s Baroque Versace tropical resort wear gown.
Very that type.
I love it. Now, these other gowns, we're going to get to them right away because I am not pleased. This
what
is...
the fuck? What the fuck is going on with
good.
This runway?
Okay, I'm glad that you're not pleased either. Let's get right into it. Jocelyn comes out with a black dress and a feather in her hair. And then they put up a picture of RuPaul in a dress, nothing like this, with nothing in her hair. It's like Jocelyn was like, RuPaul would wear this, right? And then she went to the counter at Cachet and said, yeah, I don't need a bag. I'll just put it in my TJ Maxx bag.
Did they spring this on them, perhaps? Did they spring this runway on them? Because
Courtney knew. Courtney had her RuPaul outfit, so you know it wasn't sprung. And Gia had this dress made to look like RuPaul.
Okay.
And Milk. Okay. This is what these girls chose. They chose this. Gia looks fine. The gown is almost an exact replica, and RuPaul comments on it. The hair is very Kimora Hall.
It's different.
Mackie Doll.
It has a black root, which RuPaul has only worn one time, and it wasn't with this dress. I'm just thinking, and RuPaul has more crimped hair when she wears this blue dress. I'm just thinking, like, if you're gonna do it, a RuPaul, do it down to the detail.
And there's so many iconic Ru looks that why are you choosing, like, some random thing? Like, oh, right. Her in a black dress from a promo photo. Like, I don't get the Jocelyn thing. And G, I understand it. But
the dress is fierce.
Them calling her a crack whore and saying her lash is wonky, I don't think that was warranted at all. That's and I love Warrant. Cherry Pie is one of my favorite songs. Darian goes for a classic Ru look.
This is good. This is great.
It's, you know, oh, I'm going to do this look. And she did it. No problems with it.
And that's a very memorable, very, like, very iconic RuPaul moment. She looked really, really cool. I like that. Laganja is doing the season 4 promo Ru, except not gold.
And except not the hair.
Right. I mean, I can clock this as an outfitter's wig, or I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's one of those big, big jumbo jackers they have right in the front window.
It might be influenced by it. You would not clock that you're impersonating RuPaul in this. And that is the assignment. And a lot of these girls just did what they wanted, it seemed. And that was to their own detriment.
Yes.
Bianca did this silver dress, which was age appropriate Ru. And it looks like Bianca.
Yes, it's close and it looks nice. Again, why can't we just do that? If you're doing the silver dress, why don't you do it where it's ruched in the center? I know that Bianca can make anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
The whole thing is perplexing to me, and not blonde hair. Okay, all right, fine. It's fine.
Yeah. And Adore coming out as in just this purple dress.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and then the picture that they show is like, well, this is kind of like what she's wearing. It's not at all like she's wearing. And the hair is different. And like, it's no. But she looks beautiful. And it's clear she didn't understand the assignment. Trinity, again, looks beautiful, but this is not the dress that is supposed to look like RuPaul. Like, how hard is it? It's not hard.
Right. I feel like some of the girls were just like, well, RuPaul just wears a dress and she has hair. So I'll just do that. I'll just like pick a really beautiful dress and put on a wig. And then I will be RuPaul.
Yeah. Now, these last three girls understood the assignment. Dayla has a yellow ruffle dress, which has all the same characteristics of Ru's yellow feather dress, the same type of hair, the same size.
Yes.
I'd say it's a 9 out of 10 for me.
Yes. I love it. Crushed.
Wonderful look. Courtney, beautiful, like angel cum droplets, just a wonderful Bob Mackie-esque inspired vision with a cape that's, again, perfect almost. I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10 for for RuPaul impersonation and a 10 out of 10 for looks because she's beautiful and the hair is perfect.
And for creativity, because she went, I'm not going to do like RuPaul from RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm going to do like OG, like fucking.
Yeah.
Like VH1 RuPaul.
Fashion Awards.
Yes.
Like classic Ru that you know is Ru immediately by seeing it, which is something that would have helped the other girls a bit.
Why didn't somebody do Supermodel of the World with the red gloves and the barrel and like the pearls?
Why not the Supermodel cover with the dripping thing in the middle with the pearl drops?
Girl. Or like,
why not so many of the looks that she did on the VH1? There's so many things that I'm wondering about. I'm also wondering about Milk's workroom RuPaul, which was a brave choice because he saw what happened to Milan when she wore a suit.
Yes.
I think that he marches to his own drum and sometime it might be... A bongo drum that, you know, might not have a drumstick. I'm not really sure. It's for me, this is costume. This doesn't give me drag.
Okay. But
does it give you drag?
In comparison to some of the other looks, the level of detail that is executed in this is, I think the fact that a lot of the queens didn't do the assignment correctly made this look like stand out more in a positive way because it actually looks like RuPaul. And he did a bald cap. He did it down to the detail, down to the letter. And that's why I think it was praiseable in this moment.
But it's a drag show. Where's the drag? Putting on a bald cap and putting on foundation and wearing a men's suit, to me, that's not drag. And this is a drag show. It's in the title. It's not called RuPaul's Cosplay Race. It's called RuPaul's Drag Race. And Milk has been light on the drag in a couple instances.
And was he light in these loafers that he was wearing?
I've been to his OnlyFans. He's not light in anything.
Why don't we take a break? And then we'll really get into the nitty gritty of
Courtney. Take your break,
drag. Courtney. Take your break. I work hard for my blessed clientele. It's a gift from me to hell.
Digest. Now is the moment where we dive deep
this
into the
down. This is the moment
when the down under digest is about to start with Manila and Latrice. They're going to talk about what's going on down under. Mm-hmm. A little bit of cancel culture for our strife.
Right.
Lots of things down under.
A lot to talk about. So let's check in with the down under digest.
Check-in's not till 3. You can wait in the lobby if you want.
You can wait in the lobby. Manila takes her pants off. Were you there for that one?
What? Was this a bots tour moment?
No, sometimes it happens that you get to a hotel after a fucking long-haul flight and the room isn't going to be ready for 2 hours and then the girls get pissed. And so Manila was like, fine, I'm just going to bed right here in the lobby and took her pants off and pulled her pants down and like laid down on the floor. I love that woman.
Oh, that sounds like a bots moment for sure.
Yeah.
The safe girls for this.
Did you throw it to it or not?
Yes, multiple times. You have multiple options. How many song parodies do we need? We did Aida. We did Legally Blonde. What else do you want?
On the back of it, tell another story.
My name is Latrice Royale.
And I'm Manila Luzon.
And this is your Down Under Digest.
On episode 5 of Drag Race Down Under, the library is open. Did these queens get shady enough for you, Latrice?
They were kind of shady. They were. Did the queens spread their talent for their own yeast spread commercial? Would you buy any of their spreads?
No, but I might get like a free PR kit in the mail. Maybe that way, but not buying it for sure. Plus, we get an important conversation on race.
For more recaps of season 1 of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under,
check out The Chop every Thursday here on the Mom Network.
Let me ask you, what Ru look would you do?
What Rue look would I do?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I have an idea of what I might do.
I would probably do her most recognizable look, which is her her Supermodel of the World album cover. It's a silver dress, high-necked, like Jocelyn's dress, but not black. In the middle, it goes down to like a bead, a single bead in the center. She's got like Simone's hair kind of from her promo, but blonde. I would do classic RuPaul, her most recognizable image probably. What would you do, Alaska?
I think the Supermodel of the World video is, I would be concerned that other people would do it. I would want to do the promo of Drag Race, the pink track suit, and then have two huge checkered flags.
I'd have Max the Body because he was the OG season one. This runway was a flop for me. Remember it was her? Not happy.
Flop, flop, looking like a flop.
That's my favorite Rue hair.
It was the rock and roll challenge with the huge sort of mohawk braids. Mm.
God, Matthew Anderson, the one.
Absolutely. Have they done a redemption of Night of a Thousand RuPauls as a runway? I don't recall that they have, but I think it's high time. World of Wonder, if you're listening, and I know you do. I know you're deep friends of the pod. I think it's high time for a redemption of the Night of a Thousand RuPaul's runway because it's such a good one.
I agree.
And I'd like to see some girls nowadays like really crush it.
I also agree with some of these judging critiques. Michelle says that Gia was flat. Rue says it wasn't funny. Santino is deplorable. He says him and Michelle both say crack whore and wonky lash and giggle about it. And it's like, you didn't have to go there, but they did because they're reality TV show judges. Yeah. Laganja, they said was giving chicken lady and didn't sound like Rachel Zoe. And she admits to having a cheat sheet with the Rachel's catchphrases, and it still wasn't silver, gold, or bronze.
Well, she was thrown off by getting one-upped by Bianca. And sometimes it's hard when you're trying to be, like, funny and on, and you're getting, you know, overshadowed. It happens.
In the walk around, she did say she was quick on her toes, and then this happened because she was sitting down. She wasn't on her toes.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah.
So I get it. Bianca is praised. Rue says, love that dress.
Yes. You can borrow it. You can borrow it, fag.
What did you think of Adore? I thought she could have won. There were a lot of good contenders.
There were, but, you know, the runway fell short. And so, you know, it wasn't the moment. But this is another birthplace of a catchphrase. Adore, when walking the runway, says, I look fucking cool, which turned into a hit song that that was a collaboration between myself and Adore. It's a fabulous song. I like Adore's look. It's not really RuPaul, but it's very Adore. And I love that fucking dress. And I actually want it with like 3 inches sewn to the bottom.
The Dela is praised. She is told that they're obsessed with their look. She was the best one. Michelle offers a negative because it's her job. She says it was just another old lady character.
What? Okay, well, she was cast in a play as an old lady character. It's not... Okay, whatever. Milk. Michelle says, part of me is offended that you came out on the runway in pants, but the other part of me loves it. Yeah. And there's a little bit of discussion. Milk says, you know, like, I never want to just come out and be a beauty lady. And Milk says, I want to be surprising. And then Santino offers, well, this actually wasn't surprising because it's what we come to expect from you. I liked Milk's runway.
I liked it too. It was clean and beautiful and precise. But in a room full of RuPaul divas, why would you want to dumb it down and dress like her as a man. RuPaul as a man is not exciting. RuPaul as a glamazon, exciting. And you're on a drag show, so why don't you do RuPaul in drag? I understand his drag and his perspective, and I respect it and really love a lot of his drag and the way his brain works, but I don't think that this was the best tactic to win this, and he obviously didn't win, because your goal here is to impress the judges, and this did not impress them. A suit is not going to impress next to a gown, I think. That's why people like drag queens more than drag kings, because our outfits are better.
Okay. Well,
I think, I don't know. That might not be true. I went to a show with three drag queens the other night, and it was great.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit of a liar. And there was a girl named Barbara Brownskirt. She was really funny.
That's funny. And I mean, Gia definitely shares your sentiment and is very pissed. And ends up in the bottom two with Laganja. Ben de la Creme wins the challenge, and the prize is two couture outfits from Siren Latex.
Mm-hmm. One note is Jillian Jacobs says, every time I hear a drag queen on this show say, I need to be true to myself, they go home. You could tell this bitch is watched, because she calls that straight out. Straight out.
She's a deep fan from, like, the first moment you can tell. She's like, yes, godmama. Yes, godmama, hunty boots. God, yes, Nessa.
Do you have these boots in hunty size?
The lip sync song is, head to toe, hello. This is it's too powerhouse performers who are also dear friends, pulling out all the stops, giving it to us. Laganja's giving all the tricks, jumps, splits, dips and dippity doodles.
Gia does the longest reveal in history. She walks from the front of the runway to the back of the runway with her dress unzipped. And then when she gets to the front, she pulls up a neckline that was probably bunched into her tit area and puts that on. It feels like a good 20 to 30 second reveal. She misses the whole second verse.
Change her outfit. Change it around. Gia.
And after Gia loses, she goes to the back of the stage and says, you guys are all still dudes.
Wow. Yeah. Because she's, you know, she's mad. She's heated. And she's not, she's letting have. She's letting it out. She's not holding it in.
I mean, she came to compete in a drag show, and there's people not in drag there. So I would be pissed, too, that they weren't in the bottom, especially when their impression wasn't great either. Milk's Julia Childs was nothing to write home about.
No, it was gutter.
Sausage drugs!
Yeah, so, I mean, at least Gia was short and concise. I'd rather have something bad and short than long and unfunny.
Yeah.
You know, but this is just what I think. It doesn't really matter, because neither of them win this season.
Oh my god, spoilers. Oh.
I would like to spoil everybody on what our next segment is. It's time to get Bianca Del Real.
Ooh.
Real? Bianca Del Real?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I think for this episode we should just call it
Baloney Time with Need Help Packing Queen.
And honestly, if you did need help packing, I'm sure she would have one of those vacuum bags that, like, sealed everything perfect, too. Because she is Bianca, so I would accept that help.
I
want
to see what her suitcases look like. How do you do drag? She doesn't even know
what they look like. You unzip the first one, and then Jamie pops out, and then he unpacks the other three.
Truly. Truly, yeah. Madly, deeply. Okay,
so
let's
hear
check
what
in
she
with
got
Bianca.
To say. Did you have any alternates for Snatch Game? Who did you audition with, and did they ask you to bring any extras?
I auditioned with Dora the Explorer, but I once again didn't know the rules that you can't do a specific type of. Mm. You can't do a character. Is that what it is? But you could do the person.
You can't do a fictional character.
Copyrighted characters are out.
Yeah.
Did they tell you after you auditioned that you couldn't bring it, or did you find out when you got there?
Ooh, I don't really remember. I think I had a Liza Minnelli bag, like a wig and a little sequin jacket. Just like, okay, well, who else could I play? And then Judge Judy just was like an obvious choice because Rue had done, I think, the season before, Judge Rudy or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, nobody's done that. And it's that thing where you're like, at least Liza and Judy would work the game. You know what I mean? The characters themselves can actually work well. So it wasn't a visual. It was more of like, who can be a cunt or be funny or be crazy in the environment? Yeah. So that was that. So I didn't bring Dora because we couldn't do it.
Just terrific,
Liza.
Could you imagine? Me all coked out looking like Liza. Yeah.
And we're back from the BDR moment. What happened in Untuck in the Forum Decor Lounge?
Well, a lot of things happen. There are a few quotables. Trinity, okay, ooh, this is, Trinity is upset because she thinks that Santino was making fun of her speech pattern while she was walking on the runway. And then RuPaul cuts in on the Untucked and says, now, wait a second. Santino was making fun of the way I speak because I say sensational sometimes. Which I don't have anything to weigh in on this. I don't know.
And if Santino was making fun of the way she spoke, that would be warranted because she's the one that put the flipper in her mouth that makes her speak like that. So is that allowed? Are we allowed to make fun of speech impediments in 2013?
She was upset because she was walking quietly on the runway modeling and then he made a comment about the way she looked using. He wasn't like repeating something she said. He just like came out of nowhere. So her perception was like, he's bullying me.
Yeah, he's an asshole. Like, she's allowed to feel however she wants to feel, and I'm glad she does, and she was vocal about it. We do get some iconic moments from this Untucked. This is when Bianca finally says, if I wanted to come for you, I'd come to your room at night and cut your fucking wigs up.
I would love Bianca to come to my house that night and cut up my fucking wigs.
I think the scissors would break. I've seen some of them.
You'd lose the scissors.
It's like a razor cut.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet they'd come out looking fabulous. Trinity reveals that she's HIV positive, and it's one of the biggest reasons she wanted to be on the show was to share her story and be an inspiration to other people, which I think is like a huge moment just for television in general. I mean, Billy Porter just recently shared this with the world, and it is very inspiring, and I thought that was a really like amazing, inspiring moment with Trinity. Let's see what else happened.
Did you not come for me?
Oh, don't do all that, Gonj. Don't do all that. We're not going to do... That's very transparent to me, Gonj. We're not going to do all that.
Mm-hmm. This is there that was, moment. This is there, the moment.
There was a moment at some point that I'm not determined in time, and I don't know when, and exactly I can't pinpoint it, but I did feel like you came for me.
No. Don't do all that, Gonj.
Well,
It's very that, and not the podcast.
Shit's getting gaggy.
Mm-hmm.
What else happened? Oh, Darian has a good one. She says, honey, it is mind over matter. Pay them no mind because they don't matter. Darian's a quick one.
Why hasn't she been on All Stars?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Like, again, are these girls too good? They're like, no, we can't have her because we know she's going to win. I'm really
Some
wondering.
Some girls just fucking say no, I think. Some girls are like, deuces.
I do know a few girls that have said no. Because, I mean,
yes.
If you say yes now, then you're locked into that that medieval feudal serf contract that they have you under. Where
right.
you're strapped to the land for 4 years to toil away. On the Voss trenches.
Girl.
What
else? Something else happened. Oh, the hallway conversation between Gia and Laganja. And you can tell that it's really nice to see Gia and Laganja like really forging a super strong friendship in this moment. I think they both see the writing on the wall and they know it's going to be them in the bottom and they're fucking upset and like going through it. And you see Gia like have a really soft moment in the hallway with Laganja and says, "This is the moment that counts."
I just don't get it. I don't get how they were the worst ones. I think there were other people who were worse. But
it was Bamboozle Tree.
It doesn't matter. That's what All Stars is for. Thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser Classic this week. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love, love, love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And if you want to take a moment, you can leave us a little rating, 5 stars for 5 stars.
And you can make your way over to Instagram, where a surprise awaits you in your big pink furry Instagram accounts at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000, at Race Chaser Pod, at Mom Podcasts. Follow them all. They're nothing but a treasure trove.
Mm-hmm. Look at
follow every single one.
There's bonus content available at patreon.com/Willem, where we crack some jokes, we have some fun, we give some giggles. You can search for that Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag Race Chaser. And we just posted part 2 of us getting up in the gigs while reacting to reviews of the podcast, which you left. Some of you listened. Mm-hmm. It is quite entertaining.
We tell little jokes here and there. You can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And stay safe, get the vax, socially distance yourself, and wear a mask if you still want to. Respect each other out in the world. Was that a typo, if you still want to?
No, I think there are a lot of people who are like, oh, I got the vaccine, so I'm never wearing a mask again. But other people are like, I still feel more comfortable wearing a mask.
Got it.
So, like, no shame in your game. Do what makes you feel comfortable.
Exactly. Bye. By the way, you all are still dudes.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.